From Tourist to Pilgrim, the podcast on the papal basilicas made with Vatican News, Vatican Radio.
Let's enter into the great Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls in Rome, the second largest of the city. We enter through the West End and slowly make our way up the enormous empty space towards the papal altar under which we find the tomb of the Apostle of the Gentiles. But rather than look at the whole space of the place, let's look at one particular object, a sacred object that we find high up the nave on the right of the papal altar, and that is the candelabrum, the Easter candlestand. I'll call it candelabrum because candlestand doesn't sound very elegant. I'm Father Edmund Power, the former abbot of the Benedictine monastery of St. Paul's Outside the Walls, a monastery whose monks have assisted visitors to the basilica for 1,300 years. This is a wonderful object dating from the 12th century, the end of that century. And maybe it's the highest candelabrum for the Paschal candle in the world. It's 5.6 meters in height. We even know the names of the sculptors who made it. It's a single column of white marble. Their names are Nicola d'Angelo and Pietro Vassaletto. And we know their names because they let their autographs inscribed on the side of the candlestand. Although it's now next to the papal altar, it wasn't always there. It began its life in the nave, high up, not far from the tomb of Paul. But after a couple of hundred years, liturgical taste seems to have changed. It was put out of the basilica and spent 200 years in the field alongside the basilica. Then, about 1800, it was brought back in and found a place in the transept. It survived the Great Fire of 1823, was shifted to another place in the transept, and then only in the Great Jubilee year of 2000, it found its present place in relationship to the tomb and the high altar, and there it stands. The iconography of this object is interesting. It weaves together two patterns of imagery. One is a tree. It's a tree, the tree of life, made out of living stone. Secondly, it's the column of fire that led the people of Israel on their arduous journey across the desert to the Promised Land. The candlestand is in eight levels. The lowest level shows us four rather elegantly dressed women. They're obviously queens or noble women, and nobody knows quite why they're there at the bottom. But some experts believe that the most important of the four, who's clearly the leader because her clothing is even more elegant, is Babylon the Great. And we can remember the words of the Book of Revelation: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of all the horrors of the earth, a symbol, therefore, of the evil which will be overcome in the Paschal mystery. And we can remember, too, the words of the prophet Isaiah: Babylon is fallen, is fallen. But as we move up the candlestand above Babylon, we come into a level that seems to be all exuberant and uncontrolled jungle, plants weaving themselves around strange, monstrous animals. And we realize that this is the jungle of the beginnings, calling out for order and discipline. And as we move up to the next level, we have three levels that recount the story of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of the Lord. They're wonderful, these three levels, because there are 47 human figures on the three levels, soldiers and other people associated with these particular moments in the life and death of Christ. And every face is different. I think the artists, the sculptors, must have really enjoyed carving these faces. And then as we go up to the next level, we come once again to vegetation, but now more disciplined, but more intricate. And continuing our climb, the topmost level has a row of eagles and lions that hold the cup in which the Paschal candle is placed. It's strange looking at the human figures again, because the way the soldiers, for example, are dressed, they're not dressed as Roman soldiers, as they should be historically, but they're actually wearing contemporary medieval military uniforms. So obviously, the sculptors were influenced by what they saw around them. But when we get now, if we ask ourselves why this very elaborate candelabrum, the answer is, it too, although its purpose is just to hold the Paschal candle, it too proclaims the Paschal mystery. And we know this because there's an inscription in Latin written all around it. And the inscription reads as follows in English. It starts off saying, "The tree bears fruit," speaking in the third person. But then it changes the grammar, and the tree itself, this Paschal candle stand, starts talking to us. It says, "I, the tree, carry lights. I bear libations. I announce joys on the day of festival. Christ is risen. Now I can make such offerings." So the actual stone speaks out the Paschal mystery, inviting all those who witness it to respond. Now, of course, it's not the stone that really matters. The symbol that matters is the Paschal candle itself, which is inserted at the top. This Paschal candle represents the Paschal mystery because dying, in other words, burning, melting, it produces light. Dying, Christ produces life and light. And this image of the candle, the Paschal candle, is taken up again at every celebration of baptism, when the candidate, just baptized, receives a small candle lit at the light of Christ.